Welcome to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the talk.
Romans 12, 1-2, it says this: "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Josh, come and share.
Thanks, Richard. Good evening, everyone. What is your true and proper worship? Your authentic response to the God who so loved you and so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We're going to look at that together this evening over the next few minutes. And my hope and my prayer is that each of us will leave this building tonight with more clarity and more certainty as to how we would answer that than before we came in this evening. So as Richard said, my name is Josh. I'm one of the team vicars here at St. George's, and I'm the clergy lead for Holy Trinity Bore Lane. And so a bit of background if you're new with St. George's. St. George's is a team of three churches, and I'm going to give you a whistle-stop tour. So we here at St. George's and also Holy Trinity Bore Lane and all Augustine's Rangthorn. And so as many of us will know, St. George's is a resource church, and we have a vision to preach Jesus, make disciples. I was tempted to make this a test, but that seems unfair. Serve the city and send out leaders. And then there's also St. Augustine's, which is a parish church in north of Leeds, serving its local community, and it's also the base for church at Hyde Park Corner. It's a student church for unchurched students. And on the screens before you now is Holy Trinity, the crown jewel of the three. It's a church with a midweek ministry to love and serve workers in the heart of the city. And an extra warm welcome to you. If you are new in Leeds, congratulations. You are living in the best city in the world. Today's weather was particularly good. It's great that we're still enjoying summer. And this evening, as we think about our true and proper worship, we're also going to think about how this shapes the church life here at St. George's and through Holy Trinity, which we'll come on to shortly. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence with us now. Help us to be aware of your still small voice. Meet with us afresh now. Shape us. Help us to follow you. Amen. It's been said that in a lifetime you can be average at many things. You can be good at a few things, but truly great at only one thing. And while I know this to be true, it leaves me with a certain amount of anxiety because I've got quite a lot to do. I'm a Christian. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I'm a friend. I'm a vicar. I'm a volunteer. Quite a keen cyclist. Quite a keen cook. A less keen DIYer, but it has to be done by someone, and that's me. And so there's all these different things. And if that really is true, but we can only be great at one thing and only good at a few, it leaves me with an anxiety that I might just be rubbish at lots of different things. Where does that leave us when we have these different responsibilities? Because can there be any satisfaction in being an average spouse or married to an average spouse? Of being an average friend or having average friends? Of being an average employee or an average student, an average flatmate, and so on and so forth? Do we have to choose between being a good student and being a good Christian, or at least trying to? Confucius, the ancient Chinese philosopher, he said this, that the man who chases two rabbits catches neither. And as a parent of two children, a five-year-old and a three-year-old, I think the same can be said of children, in a very literal sense, as we're trying to do the grocery shop. And life can often feel like we're chasing rabbits. Whether you're trying to chase being on time to all your lectures, and you're trying to get to see you, and you're also trying to get to church, well done, you made it, and you're trying to do your dishes, or you're trying to get someone else to do your dishes, or whatever it is, whatever you're chasing, relationships, spills, whatever it might be, life can often feel like we're chasing 10 different things, let alone two. And where does that fit in with being a Christian or even exploring faith? Because to be a Christian is not about chasing more things, but it's about following the way of Jesus. Bless you. It's about following in the footsteps of Jesus, for one who said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Growing up as a Christian, I understood that being a Christian meant doing four things. I've just seen someone in an Arsenal shirt, and I'm going to try and look the other way as a Man City fan. The four things: going to church. You were lucky. Going to church, or maybe we were lucky, I don't know. Think about this, Josh. Going to church was thing number one. Reading my Bible every day was thing number two. Praying was thing number three. And if I was feeling really good, or it was a good year, then going to New Wine or Spring Harvest once a year. And maybe you've done these things yourself. They're all very good things. But they can also feel like one more rabbit to chase, one more thing to try and fit into an already busy life. And not just that, but you might be part of other groups as well, of CU, student group on a Thursday. Maybe if you're super keen, you're volunteering, you're on the PCC or subcommittees and boards, and God bless you if you are, but the list goes on. There's a lot that can be done. And again, these are all good things. But these pursuits can often take up so much time that we have less time for other things. And it was my experience as I became more involved in church as a teenager and in my early 20s, I found these things took up more and more of my time. And so I had less time for other commitments, like seeing friends outside of church and work and these other things. And when I look back, I think at least in part it's because I believe those things weren't as important. That church and CU and student groups and other things like them were the sacred bits of my life, and everything else was in a slightly different category. I wonder this evening, what are the rabbits that you're chasing? What are the things that take up your time and attention? Each season and stage of life will bring about different responsibilities and opportunities and challenges. Especially if you're a new student this year, finding all these different things that you have to do. For some of you, no shame in this, it might be washing your clothes for the first time. I remember my first meal that I was cooked as a student. I went into Tesco and I bought a 12-pack of sausages and a bag of frozen onion rings. And it was only when I was eating this, I thought, this isn't a nutritious meal. Whatever it might be, in every season, we have new responsibilities and opportunities. And it's easy to feel like our relationship with God is just one extra thing. But our passage today shows us and reminds us just how dissatisfying that is. Because I think for me, large parts of my life, I've assumed that the passage we had read to us actually reads like this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer 2 hours a week on a Sunday evening to go to church, to read your Bible if you have time, pray if you have a bit more time, and go to see you as long as you're not close to exam season." But that is not what the Bible is saying. We are selling it, cutting ourselves short, selling ourselves short if that's the kind of faith that we try to live. Paul talks about something so much more, offering our bodies, our whole self, as a living sacrifice. One of the main pursuits for many people in the center of Leeds is their work and their careers. Our work can feel like another rabbit to chase, but it's also something we can do following in the footsteps of Jesus, that our work would be part of our worship and discipleship. And if we could have the picture of Holy Trinity back up on the screen, this really is at the heart of the mission and ministry of Holy Trinity. It's birthed from a core belief that our work matters. It matters to God and it matters in the world. But our work plays a key part in what it means to offer our bodies and our whole lives as living sacrifice. And so Holy Trinity Borlain has a vision to love and support workers in Leeds. And we do that in a few different ways. We have services on a Tuesday lunchtime as well as a Wednesday morning. And our sermons are always focused on what our faith looks like played out in our work. We're a community of people that values people's work and encourages others to see their work as meaningful and important to God. And if this is something of interest to you, maybe you work in Leeds, I'd really love to connect with you. Our website is borlain.church. Easy, right? Borlain.church, and you can connect with us through there. And I'm aware not all of us here will be working. Many of us will be students or in different phases and stages. But whatever stage we're in, what does it mean for you to consider what is sacred in your life? Our reading today reminds us that every part of our lives can be offered to God as true and proper worship. It's a scripture that reminds us that worship is not just what we sing or what we do on a Sunday, but very much how we live. And Paul deliberately uses the word body, soma in the ancient Greek, to describe what we are to offer to God. And this word, it literally means our whole embodied selves. To be a living sacrifice doesn't mean being a taxidermy Christian. It means to offer your whole self, your whole person, every part of your life. That you are a physical being in a material world. I'm trying not to sing Madonna. But you are a physical person. Stop it. Move on. And so as we live our physical lives, we eat food and we worship by thanking God for what he has given us. We honor God with our conversations and friendships. As we work to the best of our abilities, we honor those that we work with and for. We worship God by using the gifts he has given us. And one of the great temptations of faith, of relationship with God, is that we can put things that we think God cares about over here, and we can put other things that we don't think God cares about over here. And when we do this, and this is why this is so dangerous, we can begin to think that only certain parts of our lives have eternal significance, that only certain parts of our lives matter to God. So I have some props this evening to help us think about what this looks like. I have two boxes here. The first says secular. This is our secular box, and I'm going to put this right here. And the other is sacred. This is our sacred box. And maybe you don't have one of these boxes at home with these labels. I wouldn't blame you. But each of us has a temptation to do this in our own heads, in our own calendars, in our own diaries. So I've got a bag of goodies here, and I'm going to think about where I'm going to put them. So I'm a very keen cyclist. I really enjoy cycling, and for me, it's a great way of relaxing. And I guess I'd probably, a lot of the time, see it in the secular box, so I'm just going to go ahead and put that here. Okay, next up, I've got Lightning McQueen. Ka-chow! I have a 5-year-old boy, 3-year-old girl, and the whole house, we love cars. We watch it pretty much every day. So I'm going to go ahead and put this in the secular bit. It doesn't feel particularly holy or special when we watch cars or talk about cars, so I'm just going to go ahead and put that here. Oh, but next up, I've got a Bible. Yeah, that feels very sacred. So I'm going to go ahead and put this in the sacred box. This is a very special book. What else have I got in my bag? I've got an Xbox controller. Trying to relax, kids are asleep, grab a beer, play FIFA. That feels very secular, so I'm just going to go ahead and put that here. What else have we got in my bag of goodies? I've got a keyboard. I hope no one needs to use the computer tonight. This is to represent work, and work can often feel like something we need to do to pay the bills, keep parents happy, keep spouses happy, whatever it might be. And so a lot of the time, that's probably going to go in the secular box too. And last but not least, I have, as we will all have at home, the St. George's annual report, which I am taking to represent church. And church is very special as we meet, as we gather together. So I'm going to put that in the sacred box. And the great problem with doing this, the great problem with thinking about what we consider to be sacred and what we consider to be secular, is that mentally we assume that God only cares about these things, that God is only going to work through these things, and everything else is just other stuff. But what Paul is telling us, if we are going to be living worship, if we're going to be a living sacrifice, then every part of our lives matters to him. Every part of our lives is an opportunity to worship. When I'm spending time with my children, whatever I'm doing, I can be worshiping God as I honor my children and I raise them to love him. When I'm doing things for fun, whether it's cycling or Xbox or whatever that might be, I can be honoring God with what I choose to do, what my actions are, and thanking him. And with my work, I can be honoring God in how I choose to work, how I choose to spend my time and what I do. And when we do this, everything matters to God. Everything has eternal significance, and everything becomes an opportunity for worship. I'm just going to take a couple of moments to think about what this looks like for us at Holy Trinity, because I suppose part of our ministry, part of what we're trying to do, is disrupt these two boxes. Because for so many people, they might think church is basically where you get an orange with a candle at Christmas, and you maybe get a few mini eggs at Easter, and you probably go there for weddings and baptisms and funerals, and that's about it. And nothing else goes in the sacred box. But we know that's so far from the truth. That God made each and every one of us. He loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He loves this city. He cares about issues of justice and peace. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we do him a great disservice. We do ourselves and our community and our world a great disservice when we keep things separate. And so we're trying certain things, and it's just part of what we're trying. But I want to just give you some examples of this. Maybe it's something that you'd like to join in with, but also perhaps it's just something to get you to think about what this could look like in your life, to be disrupting these two. So the first thing I wanted to share about was something what we're calling Ball Lane Breakfast. As I go through these things, you'll realize how poor I am at naming things. But this is a breakfast that we have on Ball Lane, where the church is. And so in Leeds, trying to support and love the business community, there are lots of different networking events. I don't know if you've gone to networking events yourself, but often it can feel like everyone is trying to sell something. And we wanted to create a space that was networking for the sake of the city. So I think there might be a slide popping up with some of the dates and things we have coming up. Otherwise, you can find this on our website as well. We're also starting a chaplaincy service for workers in Leeds. And this is a space that we want to go into environments that people consider to be totally secular and have conversations about faith and purpose and meaning and truth. And we're really delighted, but there's a large law firm in Leeds who've agreed to have us for a kind of drop-in session as part of their working rhythm. And we've been fortunate to have some opportunities to share this with different companies and workplaces as well. Something else I want to share with you, which is hot off the press, we're very excited about this, is something that we're calling Boar Lane Carols. Again, you can see this original thread coming through. But here we are, here is the church, and Santa, he's coming. Do you know, Wednesday is 3 months until Christmas Day. How wild is that? And so on Wednesday, we're kind of launching this publicly, but we're giving you a little sneak peek. What we're doing is, and again, this is part of blurring the secular and sacred, because there's some people in your lives who may be up for coming along to a carol service at church on a Sunday, and that's fantastic. It's a great opportunity to share the story of Jesus with people. But we know for many people, they're not quite there yet. And we wanted to create a space for people to come along to after work. And we've got 7 of these different evenings lined up. And again, something else that people can put in the secular box is going out, having a drink, having a bite to eat. And what we've done is we've got 7 different bars and restaurants from across Leeds to come and have pop-ups in the church while we have these carols. So we've got a night with Northern Monk Brewery. We've got a night with Kirkstall Brewery, Friends of Ham, The Alchemist, Meat Liquor, Brilliant Burgers, if you haven't been yet. And there's 2 more, which you can find on the website. I haven't forgot them, but you can find them on the website. And tickets have just, we've made tickets available today, actually, so we're quite excited about this. But this is the sort of thing, if you work in Leeds, to say to your colleagues after work, these are all from 6 till 8 midweek throughout December, to be inviting people along. There won't be a big sermon, but we will share something of the Christmas story. Taking something that might feel very secular to certain people and reminding them of how sacred it is. These are just some of the ways that we're looking to do this at Holy Trinity, but I wonder, what are some of the ways that God might be inviting you to blur the sacred and the secular? What does it look like for you to live as a living sacrifice to God in view of his mercy, to worship him with your whole embodied self? I wonder this evening, is there anything in your life that's currently in the secular box that God is wanting to put into the sacred box? Maybe it's your work, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's your studies. Is there anything that God is inviting you tonight to take as part of your worship? Because when we allow our whole lives to sit in the sacred box, to sit in what matters to God, then following God doesn't feel like another rabbit to chase, but it becomes a framework for our whole lives. It's not about addition so much as multiplication. Everything with God, in relationship with him. Your studies, your work, your relationships all become ways in which we can worship God. So to become great at worship, if that is possible, is to worship God with our whole lives. And this is something of what it means to live as a living sacrifice. And there's some irony in this. To live as a living sacrifice. How Paul has worded this. Sacrifice is synonymous with giving up of death. But what we find in Scripture, what we find in relationship with God, is that to live as a living sacrifice is to live an abundant life. Is to live a life to the full. To live knowing that everything is for God and from God, and to live knowing everything in its rightful place with God at the center of our lives. To live as a living sacrifice is to live a life that is fully alive. Just as I close, I want us to think about what this looks like with our vision as a church. So as I mentioned earlier, our vision is to preach Jesus, make disciples, serve the city, and send out leaders. And at its core, this is a vision to take everything out of the secular box and to live everything with God. I'm just going to go through those four things and then we're going to pray. Preach Jesus. Here's a little fact for you. Most people in Leeds who will hear Jesus preach today will be in church. Perhaps this is really obvious to you. Perhaps this is not surprising, but I'd also share this, that most people who need to hear Jesus preach today will not be in church. What does that mean for us in sharing faith in environments that people might not be expecting faith? People might not even be looking for faith. How will Jesus be preached to those who haven't heard him preached? Make disciples. Most of the disciples of Jesus today will be in church. And in the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. But I think for a very long time, I have understood this to mean, go and maintain disciples of all nations. Like, hold together, keep encouraging each other. And of course, that's good and proper to do. But we are to go and make disciples. We are to take our lives, our whole lives, and use them in worship to God. And serve the city, not just part of the city, but the whole city. Whatever part you might live in or work in or study in. When you live in worship, you serve the city wherever you are and whatever you're doing. But every movement any of us has in this city would be part of our service of this city. And lastly, to send out leaders. This isn't something we do every 6 months with a mission partner or a church plant. This is something that's going to happen in about 25 minutes' time when we leave this building together, as we go into another time of worship, as we go from this time of worship into another, into our studies, into our work, into the things that are before us this week. This will be second nature to some of us, but perhaps to others it will feel quite new. Perhaps there are large sections of your life that you have never considered to be part of your worship to God. Or perhaps you have thought that, but that's never been quite affirmed. One of the things that drives me nuts as a vicar is when people say, oh, so, you know, it's great that you're in the ministry. And I want to say, so are you. Whatever you do, whoever you are, God is calling you and inviting you to live a life of worship. You are going into a week full of opportunities to worship. How will you worship Jesus tomorrow? What will your worship look like on Tuesday and Wednesday and so on? As we shared a bit about Holy Trinity tonight, we shared some of the ways that we're looking to do that. And I wonder for you, what does this look like for you? Whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, God has a call on your life to preach Jesus, to make disciples, to serve the city or the place that you call home, and to be sent out as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. For this is your true and proper worship. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.